Blog Talk Radio.
Good day to everyone. It's Jacqueline Richards with Yoga for Your Personal Finances. And I'm so glad you've decided to come out and join us in the conversation. It is an absolutely beautiful day in the nation's capital in Canada. Yes, here I am hailing from Ottawa, Ottawa, Canada, that is, in the province of Ontario. And I have this great privilege to be on Blog Talk Radio speaking to so many that I have yet to meet, hopefully so many who would like to add to the conversation, who would like to add in your two cents worth while we talk on my radio station, Mastermind Radio 101. As some of you know, I am a lover of the mastermind, the whole concept of a mastermind. And what that allows us to do is have our own personal board of directors. How fantastic is it to be beholden to those who have everything to gain by listening to your strategies, your thoughts, whether it's personal, professional, or spiritual? How fantastic is it to know that people are looking out for you? Your personal board of directors is looking for your success, because ultimately your success is their success. The concept of mastermind has come from, I believe, Napoleon Hill, when he wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. And chapter 6 talks about what it is to have a mastermind in place. The thought of two minds that come together create a third invisible mind. Haven't you seen that when you sit down at the dinner table and you converse with friends and family? And all of a sudden, all of these wonderful ideas manifest themselves in that space. Sometimes questions are answered. Sometimes answers have more questions. It is within that energy, it allows you to find your personal strengths, so much wisdom, the courage, and the passion to move forward in your world as you know it, and even better, the world as it could be for you, as you always envision it. Again, I'm Jacqueline Richards. I'm a mortgage consultant. I'm a Hatha yoga instructor. I'm the author of Yoga for Your Personal Finances, so I find that there's so much energy intertwined, and you can name the energy. You can name that energy money. You can name that energy happiness. You can name that energy strength, will, self-esteem. You can name that energy whatever you'd like. But here it is, ready and waiting for you, and we will speak to that over the next 45 minutes with Jill Alexander. She is an extraordinary woman who I've had the privilege to meet. I continue on with the process of my book number 2, To Yoga for Your Personal Finances, and let me just step out and say, everyone has a book to write. Everyone. Now, I'm just going to ask if Jill's on the line with us.
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. To our listeners, I love your voice. It's so calming, so peaceful. And then when you get excited, it is exciting to be around you. That energy just manifests.
Wow, and I feel the same about you.
Well, you know what? Welcome to the show. I will say that we have a number of people who think about Mastermind, knowing that Mastermind has 10 concepts. And if you can pull that together, you have all of a sudden a powerful entity at your beck and call. You know, there's 10 pieces, and we'll go through some of those pieces as we continue on our call, because that impacts our lives exponentially. If we can say, we can do it. So, as I continue to banter, as everyone who's listening knows, I like to do that, and usually I like to banter with my guests. Jill, so good to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm honored.
Well, as we are too. And I know that on on the page where people come to see, okay, who's Jacqueline speaking with today? I put a synopsis here, and I'm just going to read it out to everybody. I suggest that you'll speak to us about your inspiration from intuition and spiritual direction and personal life experiences. I suggest that your Path to Paradise series most exemplifies who and where you are at this point in your life. And unmistakable signs of guidance have presented as if it's a cue for you to travel on your path, and you pay close attention to opportunities designed specifically for you. I look forward to hearing and listening about the amazing among us, this amazing group of like-minded individuals, and those who have shown up on your personal journey. I hope you're excited about telling us about it, because I know I am.
Well, I'm still in the process of it, and it's a roller coaster ride, and I'm on it. I've committed to it. I believe we were all put on this earth with a unique gift, and as a child, usually that gift is shown. For me, it was artwork. That's my passion. That's what I did. I would draw and paint all the time. That was the only thing that I would do. And that evolved into different aspects of creativity for me as I grew older. For instance, stained glass lamps and pottery wheel throwing and photography, and then it became 18 years of cake decorating.
Wow.
And it evolved more into the more craft side than artistic, and I think sometimes you can forget your true purpose, whether it's whether you've done it yourself or it's external forces. Life can take over, and your true purpose just kind of goes by the wayside. And from my reality is that I was jolted back after many years. I didn't pursue my education in art. It turned out that I kind of created my own way of education. So I ended up working at Michael's Arts and Crafts Superstore, and I was the class coordinator. So I hired all the people, and I made all the displays, and I played with any product in the store. It was a dyed and gone to heaven kind of job.
Awesome. And just for those listeners who aren't familiar with Michael's, Michael's is, in many cases, an extraordinary craft show store, I should say. Whenever I'm out of glue for any of my projects, I know I just head over to Michael's. But tell me a little bit more. What's your description of Michael's?
Oh, well, it covers just about every craft area that your heart's desire. And at the time, there was a great focus on classes and just having lots of fun. So I had developed the classroom program there to number one in Canada and third out of internationally. I was there for 6 years, and there was a time something was going on, and I wasn't sure what it was, and an illness came about. And my reality, again, is if you're not listening to the inner urges or the whispers, if you just keep on going and you're not paying attention, then your body's going to take over in whatever manner to knock you over the head and get your attention. And
isn't that true? Oh, absolutely. You know, I know our listeners are thinking, you know, that's happened to me. I know for me, sometimes you go full force. You know, you go full force. And when you don't listen, it's about the knock in the head. Like, how many knocks do you have to get before you figure it out?
Well, I don't know, 40 years worth for me, maybe? or maybe let's say 20. After age 20, I kind of forgot where I was to go. So, yeah, it was a period of 2 years that I think back at the time I thought were hellish. But having gotten through it, and it involved major surgery and blood transfusions, emergency blood transfusion. So it was a serious time in my life. And as soon as I got through it, well, the day of the surgery, I realized what it was. And as for the next 6 months after that, I realized it was the greatest gift that I'd ever been given. And that started my committing to life as a full-time artist, which I am very risk-averse. That's not in my vocabulary. And to give up a full-time job where you're paid a salary for the unknown was terrifying.
And isn't that so, you know, when I talk about yoga for your personal finances, I use the energy centers, the chakra centers, and we have these seven energy centers. When we choose not to pay heed to the messages that these energy centers are sending to us, you know, it's that mind, body, spirit. And I forget, and I think we collectively forget, how much it takes to stay on your feet and stay grounded and stay positive and passionate. We forget how difficult it is to stay strong and confident. And when that all goes by the wayside, it means we're not listening. We are just not listening. And that amazes me that, you know, you created the program Third International for Michaels, and you didn't see the light.
I didn't see the light. But so I think I had help. I was pushed and pulled and prodded, which brings in the whole other subject of angels for me. But so I was put on a path, and it's had unexpected twists and turns, and I've discovered that I was kind of brought up to believe better the devil you know than the devil you don't know, which I always thought was the most ridiculous phrase I've ever heard. Anybody that says it to me now, I turn inside out. Anyway, I always thought that can't be true, but you know, you're led to, you've grown up hearing this. So anyway, I quit the full-time job, much to my whole family's horror. It was my friends who said, this is, you know, you need to pursue art. This is what you have to do. So let's get on with it. And so once I firmly committed, all the opportunities just fell into place. All the people that I needed to meet just showed up on cue. I'd read about this. This was also a time where I had been spiritual, but totally tenfold after this, and I realized what was going on and that I had to pay attention, that I had to just jump, take the leap of faith, and everything would appear. They say everything will appear, and it's true. It as you need it, it shows up.
Can I ask, I imagine that you have in your sphere of influence many artists, creative artists, in whatever vein. Have you found that they may have taken the same sort of steps you have? Could some of them say, yes, you know what, I have that story as well?
Well, I guess, yes, there's some, but I think a lot of them in two of the galleries that I am part of, they're older artists, and they've had more experience in this area, and I find that they're very helpful in guiding me along. I've found artists that two in particular who they seem to say just the right thing when I need it. They'll suggest a painting subject or whatever, a style, and I'll say, okay, I'll try it, and what do you know, it's really popular. It's like abstracts. I'm a detailed person, and really abstracts, I wouldn't know, you know, how to even start with an abstract. That's what I thought.
Okay.
However, I was encouraged to put all my emotions onto a canvas, and so I did it, and they were a great hit. And I found that I was able to push myself out of this constricted area of detail. Like, detail's good, but you have to break loose and try other avenues. And so it's nice to shake it up with doing something more abstract.
Abstract, as in swirl, as in color,
yeah.
As in... do tell us.
Swirls. Well, that because I am risk averse, and the idea of quitting the job was horrifying. The swirl represents a roller coaster ride, one that has swoops and twirls and spins, and I hang on for the ride because I know if I stop and get off, then all the great adventures that are around the corner and all the opportunities that are waiting are also going to stop. And that would just be foolish. So I hang on, and that's what the swirl represents to me. So I wear it in my jewelry. I paint it often in paintings. It's, I guess my style could be described as whimsical. And so often you'll see the wind in the background, and it's all swirly. And my Pathway to Paradise series, it's part abstract, part floral, but there's a lot of swirl incorporated into it. And that's because the first one I did, two young women saw it at a show, and they said, oh my gosh, it looks like the Pathway to Paradise. And I just thought, that's it for me. This is exactly what paradise is like, or will be like when I get there. It's this explosion of color and movement and energy. And for color, what is now consistent with me is swirls and color. And it's I like to use the most vivid colors. Now, prior to the illness, I liked soft pastel colors. It's kind of like the blinders were taken off during that time period, and everything became more vivid. So now it's as vivid as I can get. It's, you know, go big or go home.
Absolutely. Now, just before we go any further, I just want to know if we wanted to see Pathway to Paradise. Is that on your website?
Yes, it is.
Oh, beautiful. And your website address is?
JillAlexander.ca.
It doesn't get any easier than that.
No.
www.jillalexander.ca. And I think we might even have that. I'll put that up on the show page so that people can take a peek if they haven't, you know, maybe they need to cut and paste, and there it is. I'd love to see it as a favorite for everybody because you have some extraordinary art on your website, which I find really, I don't know how you do it. It's so difficult. I have to be right in front and center to see it. But you did a fantastic job making sure that the idea, the emphasis, the colors that you talk about are on your website and easy to see, easy to understand.
Well, that's quite a compliment. Well, I'm a detail person, but I like to, I'm diverse in subject matter and technique. I don't want to paint the same thing all the time. So I like to do a lot of custom work for people.
Oh, right.
It's very satisfying. For instance, I do personalized family paintings where I incorporate the whole family, the grandparents, the dog, the cat, whatever is important to that family in whatever location, doing whatever it is that they love to do. So it's a little capsule in time. It's a memory keepsake that they can have forever.
But it's bigger and better than that. You know, I saw that, and I was looking at this family portrait, and I see, you know, there's kids playing hockey, and you incorporate dogs and fishing. I guess some family members love to do fishing, and you incorporate that whole scene. And if you stood and looked at this extraordinary painting, you could pick out, you know, that's Uncle John, and that's Baby Dan, that's, and they're all doing all the things that they love. I think that, I mean, that's something I think every family should have, because there's no way, you know, we could take all the pictures we like and everyone sits nicely in a row, but what you provided was the essence of their lives. I just think it's extraordinary.
Well, what I find funny after I've finished it and I've called the family to come and get it, when I open up the door and they're standing there, I feel like my storybook characters have come to life, and it makes me laugh. I tell them why I'm laughing, but so they're aware, they don't think I'm crazy.
Yes.
But it's like I'm not painting them. I really don't know how to describe it. It's very funny for me. It's like they've walked right out of the painting and come in the front door. And they're always so thrilled, and they point out all the different, you know, things that they've asked me to incorporate. And it's very I'm honored to create these pieces for them.
And it's so easy. You've made it incredibly easy for people to be in touch with you, so that they could have a conversation with you. What can you do? You're all about the opportunity to have a conversation. And I know that anyone who contacts you would love to have that banter. You know, this is what I'd like to do, Jill. What do you think?
Sure, and some people give just the basic information, and others give me, like, for instance, they'll give me 3 photos. Others give me 20 photos. But there's still a conversation. I need to know all sorts of things to incorporate. And as I go, I send the family the progression, so they get images as we go. So maybe there's something else they need to add. So that's a lot of fun for them to see it come to life.
Yeah.
So it's fun to do, and that's just part of what I do. I also do the 5-foot tulips for the Canadian Tulip Festival.
I was going there.
Were you going there?
Absolutely. People need to know, any of our listeners, the Tulip Festival here in Ottawa is, I don't know how many years we've been celebrating tulips, and it is...
Since 1953 was the first festival. A little tidbit of knowledge I looked up today.
Oh, perfect. And we have to do that because, I think everyone should be a tourist in their own city. And when the tulips come up in our city, tulips are everywhere, absolutely everywhere to commemorate. And it's a full week, I think.
Two weeks.
And there's so many events. There's the flotilla down the Ottawa Canal. It's an extraordinary opportunity for people to come and visit the nation's capital here in Canada. Even better, now that you can tell us about the what you were commissioned to do.
They created 5-foot tulips. It's a 3-dimensional. It's a resin, fiberglass, wood composite. And so it looks like one huge tulip in a pot, and it's totally paintable. And this was created in 2002 because Ottawa amalgamated with areas surrounding. And so artists were asked to paint what was unique to their specific area of the city. I painted the Ottawa River, which is, I'll tell you later, is my favorite place on Earth. And so I portrayed the Ottawa River present day and 100 years ago. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but it became a special story was wrapped around it. There was a counselor of this area, and he had passed away, and he had wanted to take that area and take it back to its former glory, which is what I painted 100 years ago.
Okay.
I didn't paint it 100 years ago. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, so this is what I painted, not knowing that this man had, there was a whole story around it. Anyway, this tulip, they were all to be auctioned off, and there was maybe 300 of these tulips at the time. They were to be auctioned off and money raised for the artist's favorite charity, so I chose the hospital where I had my surgery, and I figure saved my life.
Okay, okay.
So, a woman, a stranger to me, but no longer a stranger, once I met her, she's now become a very good friend. Her name is Wendo Blondo. And she organized a group of politicians to, and they formed this group, called themselves the Friends of Ron. That would be Ron Kolbus, the counselor who had passed away.
Yes.
And they purchased this tulip and put it in the building that was named after him down by the Ottawa River.
Okay.
So the tulip sits, and it would overlook where this pier was 100 years ago. And this is the former glory that he was wanting to take it back to. So this is how I met Wendo, and I repeat her name because it's important. It comes up later. That was 2002. In 2003, I did a tulip in honor of Diane Stumer. She was an Ottawa reporter and book author who had illness in her life, and her husband had, there were issues that came up, one of those shaky up kind of events in both their lives, and they decided life is short, and so they bundled up the kids and sold the house and went on a boat, not a really, really, really big boat, but a smallish boat, and they went around the world and for 3 years, and she wrote about each week's events, and it was in our Ottawa newspaper, and I would follow along.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was inspired by her gumption for just grabbing life and taking a hold. I do have to say that when they returned 1 year later, she passed away from cancer.
Yes.
And this is right at the time when tulip number two was delivered to my house. And I didn't know what I was going to paint on tulip number two, but I was reading the newspaper, and it was there was a full page on Diane Stumer with a beautiful photo of her. And the story was just, you know, so beautiful and touching. And I was crying, and I lowered the newspaper, and in its place was the tulip at the end of the couch. And I thought, oh, my goodness, am I really going to paint this tulip in memory of Diane Stumer? But their family was thrilled with the idea, so this is what I did. And because of Diane's, everyone loved her so much, there was a lot of media attention, it turned out, around this tulip. So tulip number three was 1 or 2 years later. And each of the prior tulips had taken me 4 to 6 weeks to paint. However, my accountant had told me in no uncertain terms that this time I was to paint it quickly and move on to the next project. Time is money.
I love my accountant.
Yeah.
I understand.
So I painted it black, and then I painted vibrant, big vibrant tulips all over it. So it was beautiful, but it had impact, but There was no inspirational, spiritual, anything behind it. It was just, that's it. So I delivered it, and my goodness, it got more media attention. It was actually one of three that were stolen.
No.
Yes, they were stolen by a high school car rally scavenger hunt. It must have had tulip on the list, but, you know, probably a real tulip. So these kids got creative, and they stole three tulips. But what was disturbing was they sawed mine in half. The tulip heads are meant to come off, but on this particular tulip, it didn't come off, so they had a saw at their disposal and they sawed it in half. This got so much media attention because these three tulips were stolen. My tulip was the last one to be recovered, and it had a full wanted poster in the newspaper. So it wasn't long before it was recovered, and I was interviewed on CBC Radio, and that night someone heard me talking about it, and he works with computers. That's his day job, but his passion is fixing boats, fiberglass boats. So he picked it up, he fixed it, and he delivered it the next day, and then he was interviewed on CBC Radio. So that was tulip number three, which brings us to last year, February.
Before we go on, the CBC is a Canadian Broadcast Corporation, which is our television radio enterprises here in Canada. For those who are not in Canada, just so you have an idea, CBC is a big deal for us. And so when you are interviewing on CBC, we're talking about millions of Canadians who are listening and watching.
That's right. Tulip number four. Well, just prior to knowing that I was doing tulip number four, I'd had a solo show, and when that was all done, I thought, well, what's next? So I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and the universe, and so I put it out to the universe to bring me the most amazing art experience, and each night I'd go to bed, and I'd be just shaking with vibration. I was just so excited, and my husband's like beside me, sleeping away, not having any idea that I'm on high vibration right next to him. So this went on for about a month, and then I picked up the phone, and it was Wendo Blondo, my friend from Tulip Number One.
Yes.
She was now working at the Tulip Festival, and the director at the time had said, you know, President Obama has just had his inauguration, and he's coming to Canada shortly. He's coming to our city. It's his first official visit. We should do a tulip as a tribute. So Wendo said, we absolutely should, and I know just the person to do it. So she picked up the phone, and I said, of course, I'd love to do
absolutely
a President Obama tulip.
Yes.
Thinking I had, 2.5 months to work on it, but it turned out that I had a week. So
well,
I went
a quick turnaround.
I went full out. I did nothing but paint, and it was to be delivered to one of the major shopping centers a week later to be put on display. And I put the brush down. I was to have it there at 2:30 p.m., and I put the brush down at 2 o'clock. Probably if they had said deliver it at 6, I would have put the brush down at 5:30.
Right.
At any rate, it was done, and, well, the media attention around that was beyond crazy. With the Internet, I tracked it. There were stories going all around the world. I didn't even know where half these places were and that people in Scotland would be interested, or Malta. I didn't know where Malta was.
And now you do.
Now I do. So that was a real honor to paint, and it meant a lot to me because of what is written on it, and which comes from the president's speech. Now, initially, I had not very much in direction. All I knew was that it was to have his image and the words, yes, we can. So that's what I started with, and it just flowed. I did have a little meeting with Wendo a couple days later, and the ideas were just coming to us fast and furious. And so the rest of the tulip, it just happened. I really don't know how it happened. It just did. But there's special words, as I said, on this tulip. And I just want to tell you what they are. On the back of the tulip, there's a scroll, and it says, "The world has changed, and we must change with it." And I really feel like there are major things happening in this world, especially this year. I have this inner feeling that so much is happening. But also, the other phrases on the tulip are God-given promise, all are equal, all are free, all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness. And those words are so true. They're words to live by. On the top of the tulip, I wrote other important words for anybody, liberty, freedom, peace, and unity.
And it doesn't matter what country you're in?
It doesn't matter.
That's
I also included quotes from Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln. And it's a vibrant tulip. It was so much fun to do. The stem of the tulip, I think, is maybe one of my most favorite parts. It's intertwined flags, U.S. and Canadian flags, representing the friendship between the two countries.
Beautiful.
So, as a result of that, I created a little leather-bound book detailing all the inspiration and the concept with photos and my thoughts on the whole thing. And I've only made two copies of this book. Well, actually, I made three. I made one for myself, and I've got one that I would like to get to President Obama. And
well,
the third,
listening, who could get it to President Obama, we'd be happy to have you connect with us so that you can help this journey happen for this beautiful book.
Well, I have put it out to the universe that I need to find the way to get it there, but also the second one is destined for Oprah. So that one has to find its way to her as well. However, during the Tulip Festival this year, we're hoping that we can present the actual tulip because it was to be a gift to the American people, and the U.S. ambassador, the new U.S. ambassador was coming in, but he came in late in the year, so this tulip hopefully will be presented to the new ambassador, at which time perhaps I can get the book sent that way. But regardless, I've got two books here that need to get to those designated people.
Their destination. And I know that you believe in the law of attraction. I believe you said that early in our conversation. But does your vision board have the journey for these books? Does your vision board represent what your next steps are and potentially your next adventures?
I don't do things in half measures, it seems. My husband called me complicated, and I don't think he means that in a complimentary way, although this is how I take it. I take it as a compliment. It's better than being simple, I think. So complicated is good. And where was I going with this? My vision board.
The vision board, yes.
Yes. So I purchased three of the biggest vision or cork boards that I could find. They're 24 by 36. One is career, which incorporates everything that I want to do with book illustration and galleries and being known worldwide, all of that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Second one is travel. And the last one, and really important to me, it's my passion for the last 3 years, is my dream home. We have a cottage on the Ottawa River. It's an hour away, and it's my happy place. And I just find every time I leave it, I'm just sad. And when I go back, I just feel like there's air, and I can breathe, and my soul feels good. So this has been the idea that once our boys were growing that we would build a house there. So this is what my vision board was about. And I've been obsessed. For 3 years, I can think of nothing else. This is also my husband's dream, but he wasn't up to the point where I was. He was like 3 years behind me. So anyway, I added a little amendment to my vision board. I made a little Jeff's vision board and attached it to it. Put on pictures of ATVs and binoculars and all that fun stuff. Ride on lawnmowers. And his eyes grew bigger. It was like all of a sudden he was engaged in this, even though he didn't do it because that's not his thing. That's my thing.
But everybody needs to step up. What a passionate mastermind you have. Think about it. You did for him what he may not have been able to do for himself, and it was just not a tug, but just see the vision and watch it grow.
Mm-hmm. What became amazing, well, you might wonder why I use this word, but he had a heart attack last July 1st. But if you were to have perfect circumstances, he had it. So we were able to spend the summer at the cottage, and we discovered that zoning was changing, and we had a month to submit plans and so that we could build, because if we didn't do it within the month, the possibility was we would never be able to do it. So it was like you got to wonder about the circumstances of that. But being there at the cottage, whenever we left, we were so desperately sad that now we're so totally on board together. And if I have a moment of, oh my gosh, what are we doing? He's the one that steps up and says, hello, this is our dream. This is what's going to happen. This is what the universe wants.
Absolutely. And believe it. And there's no fear here.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. We only have a few more minutes. And I'd love to make sure that everyone has your coordinates. So if you don't mind letting us know, how do we be in touch with you? You are an extraordinary individual, and whether we are face-to-face or over the phone or emailing you, just need to know how we be in touch with you.
The email is jill@jillalexander.ca. And well, the website is jillalexander.ca. That's kind of repeating myself.
it just means that it's right there in front. And I think the easier the better. Nothing needs to be, as you well know, complicated.
Mm.
So tell me about your angels. Are they there with you as you continue to breathe through your journey?
Well, as I said, I've always believed in them, but there was one particular time a few years ago on a winter's day driving by myself, and the car was coming at me, and it wasn't. It was coming right at me. It was turning into me as if I didn't exist, and I was screaming and on the horn, and I was thinking, this is it. It's all done, and I've not said goodbye or I love you to anybody. Like,
yeah.
I've got no control, but it didn't happen. The collision that was there going to happen didn't happen. And it was like I didn't have one angel in the car that day. It was full.
Yeah.
We were full to capacity. And so I know that they're there just pushing and directing, and so I pay close attention.
On that note, and it couldn't have been more brilliant or beautiful, thank you so much for sharing your insight, your story. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. To everybody who's listening, enjoy the rest of your day, your evening, your week, your month, your year. And as Jill probably figured out, make sure you tell someone you love them, give them a hug, and don't take things for granted. Step forward into your personal strength, your honesty, your love, your beliefs, because there's no time like the present. Thank you so much, Jill. Thank you so much for everyone who's listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Take care.